Well, this is the second Sunday of Advent, and as I think you all have gotten several times by now, we are focusing on the idea of justice today. I wonder how many of you have heard of a guy by the name of Jim Wallace. He is, I see at least one hand out there, another hand. Jim Wallace is the head of an organization called Sojourners, and Sojourners is a Christian organization that is involved in the integration of spiritual growth and social action. And Jim Wallace thinks that those two things belong irrevocably together. And he has spent many, many years writing and talking and working for social action. He recently, in an article that he wrote, made this distinction that there is a difference between charity and justice. He says that charity is what we do with the abundance in our life, in our lives. We take care of what we need in life, and if we have more than we need, then we share from our abundance with people around us who are in need, the poor, the hungry, the homeless. We share out of our abundance, and that is charity. And that is a good thing, and it is something that God commands us to do. It's a mitzvah. Justice is a little bit distinct from charity. Justice looks at a societal level or at a world level at the way things work and looks at the question, why is it that some people have more than enough and some people don't have enough, and society takes care of the interests of some people, but the interests of other people seem to be trodden underfoot. And so justice is about changing the structures of a society or of a world so that everybody can participate equally in the bounty that God intends for each of God's children. That's the difference between charity and justice. And it seems to be important as we think about this promise that we heard in our scripture today. Isaiah the prophet in the 8th century BCE is talking about the future coming of an ideal leader, a leader who will reign with justice. Just listen again to a portion of what Isaiah says about that leader. He shall not judge by what his eyes behold or decide by what his ears perceive, but he shall judge the poor with equity and decide with justice for the lowly of the land. He won't judge by what his eyes see. What does that mean? You may know that the Roman goddess Justia, who was the goddess of justice, is often represented iconographically as a woman who is holding the scales of justice in her hand and wearing a blindfold. And there's a statue of Justia in front of the Supreme Court of the United States, a blindfolded Lady Justice. And what is the reason for blindfolded justice? Look at it this way. Suppose you are a judge presiding over your court, sitting behind your bench, and two litigants come into your court to present their case before you. And one of those litigants is a wealthy person, impeccably dressed, perfectly groomed, hair, every hair in place, shoes polished. When this litigant speaks, he or she speaks with absolutely perfect grammatical sentences. This is somebody who is had a lot of education and can speak well. And the evidence that this person brings have been put together by graphic designers. It's on hard cardstock. It just looks great. The other litigant who appears before you is a homeless person from the streets, a man or a woman dressed in rags, dirty, maybe couple of days growth of beard on his face if he's a man, unwashed, hair wild and out of sorts. When this person stands up to speak, it comes out ungrammatically. They can't put out two coherent sentences in a row. All the evidence they have to bring is a stack of disruly papers. And you're the judge. Would you be able to put out of your mind how they look and how they sound when you try to weigh the evidence? Most people can't. That's human nature. But it points to one of the structural problems we have in the world and in our country, and that is, in the courts of justice, if you're poor, you're going to have a hard time getting justice. If you're rich, you're going to have an advantage. Now, how many millionaires are on death row? Probably none. Because if you're a millionaire and you're accused of murder, you can afford to hire a team of high-powered attorneys. You can hire expert witnesses. You can hire jury consultants. You can put together as good a case as you possibly can. But if you're poor, then you will be defended by a public defender, and these are good, competent, hardworking lawyers, but they're overworked and under-resourced, and you're going to have a lot harder time proving your case. Now, if O.J. Simpson had been a pauper and not a celebrity, and he'd been accused of murdering his wife and another woman, and his blood had been found at the crime scene, would he have been able to win an acquittal on those charges? He'd probably be in jail for the rest of his life or even on death row. That's the difference if you're rich or poor in the courts of justice, and that is an injustice in our society. There's another way in which this happens. You would think that our representatives in Washington, D.C., in the Senate and the House, and our representatives in Sacramento, in the State Assembly, in the State Senate, you would think that they would be there working to improve the quality of life for all of us. You would think that. But in fact, all too often, they're working to do what the high-powered, wealthy, powerful interests in this country who put millions of dollars into their campaigns ask them to do, because they need those campaign contributions to get reelected, and they need to get reelected to keep the jobs they like so much. And so instead of doing all of our bidding, all too often they do the bidding of these wealthy, powerful special interests like healthcare. Now, Harry Truman in the 40s and 50s started working on the idea that everybody in this country should have as their right guaranteed coverage under health care. And this has been brought up over and over and over again, and it has never happened because the insurance companies and the drug companies who make billions of dollars off the current system give millions of dollars, a small percentage, to our representatives, and then they do their bidding. The system is set up in a way that is unjust because the wealthy have an advantage and everyday people like you and me have deaf ears seemingly turned to us. So justice means changing the structures of society itself. And these are moral issues. Equality in the courts, campaign finance reform, it sounds like politics, but these are moral issues that justice demands. So this passage that we've heard, this prophecy of a leader who someday will come and rule with justice, the Christian church has read this prophecy and heard in it a description of Jesus of Nazareth, who came and taught and lived a life that held forth justice as an ideal, and that reached out beyond the boundaries of what society usually would want to incorporate into its midst. Jesus incorporated everyone into the circle of his friends. He tells a parable that is found at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. parable about the end of time. You all know this story, which the nations of the world will be gathered in front of God's throne. And notice, it's the nations that will be gathered in front of the throne to be judged, not individuals. And it says that Jesus will sit on the throne and he will separate the nations into two groups, one on his right and one on his left. And to the group on his right, Jesus will say, "Come, O blessed of my God. Inherit what has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world, because you saw me hungry and you fed me. And you saw me thirsty and you gave me something to drink. You saw me sick or in prison and you visited me. You saw me naked and you clothed me." And those nations will reply, "When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or in prison or sick or naked?" And Jesus will say, "As you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers or sisters, you did it unto me." The nations of the world will be judged on the basis of how they treat the needy and the poor and the sick and the hungry and the homeless in their midst. If the United States of America were being judged before the throne of God, what would God's judgment be? We await the coming of the Christ child, who teaches us and shows us what justice really means. May that day come.